You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Oakland A's. I guess all eyes are really right now on the Oakland Athletics to see if they can just continue to do what they've been doing this entire season, which is win, win, win. But they have a much different looking roster than they did the day before the trade deadline. So while their pitching is definitely in order, you have to keep wondering what's going to happen with this offense and if they have enough to really carry them through October. So let's check in with our intrepid MLB.com reporter from the Oakland Athletics, Jane Lee. Jane, let's start with the pitching. I think that John Lester has been as good as advertised. He's really kind of wowed them recently and doesn't seem to have missed a step going from the East Coast to the West Coast. What has been your impression of him so far?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he really hasn't missed a beat, and I think that just kind of speaks to, you know, how professional this guy is. Nothing really seems to affect him. He's very, very businesslike. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen someone go about his job as serious as he does. And, you know, you might think, well, that really doesn't fit in today's formula. You know, these are a bunch of loose, you know, sometimes crazy guys that like to have fun. And Lester is, you know, very businesslike and doesn't really fit that mold. But at the same time, you know, this is, everyone knew when he came in, this was a business transaction. He is here to get them to the playoffs and take them through the playoffs. And this is just, you know, purely a 2 or hopefully 3 month rental for them. And they know he's here to win. And at the same time, I think, you know, he's kind of settling in, getting used to his new surroundings and actually does appreciate, you know, the type of clubhouse that this is. And I think it helps that Johnny Gomes is there too. I mean, this is a guy that's been with the A's before, knows how this clubhouse works. And so I think, you know, even though Lester's a veteran, been there, done that, this is a, you know, a new clubhouse, his first new clubhouse in the big leagues since he spent so much time with the Red Sox. And I think that's kind of helped him.
So Lester, it's not like his persona has changed since he's gone to a new team. It's not like he's just turned grumpy and surly or anything like that. I mean, he's just always kind of had this demeanor that he's just not going to be the guy jumping around the clubhouse and making everybody laugh, right? I mean, he's the same guy that he was in Boston, presumably.
Exactly. And I mean, even after his last start, you know, he threw a 3-hit shutout last week against the Twins. And someone asked him afterward, you know, you don't so much emotion, you know, we know you've always kind of been this way, but do you even get excited about these things? And he said, you know, without even smiling, he said, yeah, I'm excited. I just don't want to jump around like an imbecile. You know, he's always been under the impression that, you know, you got to act like you've been there before. And I think he very much embodies that. And that's what we've seen. And I don't think, you know, it doesn't mean that he's not enjoying himself. I mean, he's got his son in the clubhouse pretty much after every game. You can see them enjoying themselves, and I'm not sure if you saw the Steven Vogt, Johnny Gomes MLB Network appearance last week, but Vogt does a very, very good NBA ref impression, and Lester was in stitches, and I think that was the first time that anyone's kind of seen him, you know, loosen up since he's been in Oakland. But when it comes to his work, he's very serious about it, and, you know, you can't really knock him for it because it's suited him well so far.
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares if he's cracking one-liners, if he's performing the way he is on the mound, because that's what wins World Series, as we know. And then Jason Hamill on the other end seems to be improving. Is this finding a comfort level? Did he need to adjust to the American League? I mean, I saw a quote where he said he kind of admitted, like, he was trying too hard to justify the trade. But he's really settled in, like, 1 earned run, I think, over 12 innings pitched over 2 starts. So that's kind of night and day from what we saw from him a couple of weeks ago.
It is, and I think it has to be, I mean, really encouraging for this team because, you know, I think we spoke about it last week that another bad start for him, they might have to be wondering, you know, how much longer can we keep him in the rotation? And now that these past 2 starts, we've kind of seen, you know, what everyone in the National League saw in the first half. And I think it was just, there was a certain sense of, you know, needing to feel comfortable, even though he's been in the AL before. And there was pressure involved. I mean, even though he's a veteran and has had a lot of experiences, you know, to come over to a first-place team, you know, you're not the throw-in in the trade, but you know, you came in the Jeff Samardzija trade. And I think there was a little bit of pressure involved in that, knowing that, you know, the other four guys, you know, some have already started calling them kind of the big four with Gray and Kazmir and Samardzija and Lester. And then there's Hamill, and there was almost a feeling for him of, you know, is he the odd guy out? Is he next to go? How long can they wait for him? And it was just about finding his command. And I think a lot of that has to do with just settling down. And we've seen that. And I think, you know, him giving them innings is really big. I think we saw in the days he started before, the bullpen was just being overused. And it was just having a domino effect on this team. So I think, you know, all things considered, you look around the entire team, and him having the starts he is really going far.
It's funny because you would think that if you're in the big leagues that it really wouldn't matter where you're pitching, like the pressure is the same and the adrenaline rush is the same, and you don't want to say that, you know, like if a guy's pitching for the Cubs, he doesn't take it seriously. It's just he's pitching for a contending team. But at the same time, there is a much different just the whole mentality and a feeling that you get when you go to the clubhouse, you go to, when you drive to the ballpark every day, when your team is in contention and it's July and August and heading towards September. You know, I would never say that like Cubs pitchers get complacent or anything, but it is. I mean, it's a little bit different, and that might be a little shock to the system to somebody who's never actually been in a pennant race before.
Yeah, and these are, you know, make no mistake, these are different games. I think that's hard for fans to sense, you know, because for them, you know, they turn on the TV, they're watching a baseball game. But every game is different, and I don't want to put, you know, words in players' mouths, and I know players try to treat every game the same, no matter if they're at the top of the standings or the bottom of the standings. But, you know, there's a different, you know, it's just a different atmosphere on a winning ball club. And, you know, when you have guys coming to the park playing for something, it really does change the dynamic of the clubhouse. And, you know, I know some people aren't really big believers in team chemistry and what that does for a club. And obviously winning affects this chemistry. But, I mean, the type of chemistry the A's have, you know, and obviously a lot of that does come from winning, it's pretty unique. And, you know, you walk into that clubhouse, everyone has the same goal. And you could say that about, you know, every clubhouse in the big leagues. But for a guy like Hamill to go from, you know, an environment where, you know, you hate to say it, but they're kind of used to losing there. Obviously, that's not what they want to be doing, but it just kind of has happened for so long. And, you know, you get into a different environment like Oakland, and, you know, there's just that different aura you sense from not only in the clubhouse, but the fans. I mean, the way everyone's reacting, everyone, you know, is playing, and I think that does play a part in it, you know, whether players or fans or anyone wants to admit it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, even the sound from the crowd, if they don't like an umpire's call, it's more intense. And it's like really when the game really matters, it's amazing. It's louder when somebody hits a home run. It's louder when somebody scores a run. It's bizarre, but I mean, I think that has to do with probably attendance too, but it is a totally different animal. So on the offensive side, I know that there was, you know, initially right after the trade, when Cespedes was removed from the lineup, that changed a few things. And guys, even I read a couple of quotes I thought were interesting, that they sort of admitted that they're trying to overcompensate for the loss of that huge bat in the middle of their order. Has that settled in at all? And do you foresee that? You know, I'd hate to, I mean, I have no rooting interest in the A's, but I'm really kind of intrigued to see how far they can go in this thing. And you'd hate to think that removing such a huge offensive part might even prevent them from, you know, maybe they would just be the wild card or not get that far in the playoffs. Is there any worry that, you know, they went a little bit too far and what they took out of their team?
I think there is a little bit of worry. I think we're still dealing with kind of a small sample size still, but you know, this is a team that always prided itself on, you know, we don't rely on one guy, you know, any guy in the lineup, top to bottom, can do damage at any time. And they do. They have a deep, you know, well-rounded lineup. But they also took out the heart of that lineup in the middle of, you know, of a contending run. And I think that has had an impact here, you know, because this is a guy that just made everyone around him better. I think you're seeing guys like Brandon Moss Stephen Vogt, who is, you know, on such a hot tear, they're slowing down. I think they're feeling the pressure. You're seeing more strikeouts from these guys. And in recent weeks, you know, they're still drawing their walks, but they're not making pitchers work as hard as we've seen them do. And I think maybe that does come from just feeling a sense of pressure, feeling a sense of trying to do too much with, you know, such a big void to fill. And, you know, obviously I think everyone in there agrees that, that pitching wins games, but the A's have, you know, kind of been built on that belief for several years, and it really hasn't taken them far in the postseason. The problem in the postseason has never been their pitching. And, you know, so long as they get there again this year, it won't be the pitching that's the problem again. But there's going to be the same concern that there was last year and the year before, and that's their offense. And they have run into several good pitchers in the last week. But, you know, they can't use that as an excuse, especially when the postseason comes. And I think over their last 14 games or so, they've scored 3 runs or less in 10 of those games. And, you know, their pitching's obviously been pretty superb over that stretch, minus 1 or 2 starts. But it's still, you know, these guys are going out there on the mound, and they're working with very little wiggle room, where in the first half you saw the A's constantly just, you know, outscoring opponents very easily. And they're not used to playing in these close games that you're seeing. And so I think it is a concern. I think, you know, once guys kind of get back to being themselves and start working counts and really just getting on base, that's just been an issue for them recently, is getting on base. You know, their first game in Kansas City, they had 3 singles all game. Granted, they were able to score 2 runs, but 3 singles isn't going to win you any games. So, you know, hopefully guys like Moss and Vogt and, you know, other guys in the lineup that have been struggling, hopefully this is just a coincidence that they happen to be struggling at the same time. But you do wonder, you know, this was a team that was meshing so well, playing so well, and you took out a big piece. And you have to wonder, you know, how long this could have an effect on them.
Yeah, I think it's a very underestimated element of how a lineup's dynamic works. And people do not put enough stock in how well some hitters hit because of who's hitting around them. And it's not just, being in Houston, I've seen many, many guys that leave this team, you know, that were hitting in a complete vacuum where there were absolutely no threats from top to bottom, and they go somewhere else and they have, like, they just explode and they're doing really well. And they're actually in the lineup of hitters who are a threat. But yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate thing when guys are not only trying to overcompensate, but they're just not seeing the same kind of pitches. I mean, they're not being protected the same kind of way. And really one guy like Cespedes can absolutely impact that. But as we know, pitching does win, and bullpens become hugely important, especially this time of year, and definitely as the season comes to a close and the postseason starts. So the bullpen, if you don't have a good bullpen, you're not going anywhere. And the A's bullpen, I guess they just had a recent scoreless streak snap of like almost 30 innings. So that's been a pretty strong element the entire year. So that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, it kind of goes back to their starting pitching. If their starters are giving them 6-7 innings every single night, you know, that goes a long way for the bullpen. Guys aren't being worn down. And you see a lot of times, you know, a lot of that happens to a lot of bullpens, because by the time the second half rolls around, their workload's, you know, already maxed out. But with a team that, you know, can throw a Lester out and then a Sonny Gray out and a Jeff Samardzija, who, you know, these guys not only give them 6 innings, but usually 7 or 8, then you're only talking about using 1 or 2 guys out of your bullpen every night rather than 3 or 4. You know, you're not worrying about pitching them back-to-back days or even 3 days in a row, something you really try to avoid in the second half. And, you know, any guy in the A's bullpen will tell you that, you know, really – what the starters do has a huge impact on them. And I think it really does allow, you know, for them to kind of settle on their roles too. You know, if you can count on a starter going at least 6 innings every night, when that call comes to the bullpen, every guy in there knows, you know, when they're getting their call. You know, they have the 7th, 8th, and 9th pretty much, you know, in order on any given night. There's no guesses as to who's coming out, and I think that that goes a long way, and it sounds simple, but not every team is afforded that luxury. A lot of, you know, teams are mixing and matching so much, but, you know, this is a team with a very formidable bullpen and just a bullpen that's, you know, very, very reliable on any given night.
Something good to me. I'm still picking them. I'm still picking them to get the World Series, not just because I want to be in the Bay Area. Anyway, Jane Lee, thank
it's
you very
not
much.
A bad
we'll be checking in with you soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.